The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
Love the pod, guys, but that Zimmer Cousins ranking was a disgrace.
He goes, yes.
Cousins couldn't beat my mom in a fight.
I love it. He didn't even go after Zimmer. He goes after Cousins. I love it. Zimmer's 60-something. He goes after Zimmer. Cousins.
Oh, that's right. What's up, everybody? It's Monday. It's Chris Sims Unbuttoned, and an Ahmed Fareed is here. Yes, have no fear. The mighty brawler is here.
Yep.
That's right. Or the mighty ranking of brawlers is here.
I could scrap, too, you I can. Think.
I think you could, too. I mean, you're from Detroit. It's got to be in your blood to a degree. I mean, okay, maybe not. All right.
No, I've never been in a fight.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, the one time I had the opportunity to be in a fight,
right.
I didn't flee from it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, like, putting my nose in there
okay.
either.
Yeah, that's all right. We all have those moments.
I thought all my friends were behind me, and it turns out that they were not.
They weren't?
No.
Yeah.
So I had to go back, and by the time I got back, the fight was over.
Oh, okay.
So maybe I did flee.
That's awesome. That's all right. We all got to run from the fight every now and then. That's all right. I mean, like, I had a moment when I was with the Tennessee Titans, right? We had a 2010, we had like a snowstorm before practice. So there was like a few, like maybe an inch or two on the ground.
Okay.
We had this defensive lineman, Dave Ball, who was a good friend on the team. I'm in the bathroom taking a pee at the urinal.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, something like whizzes by, like touches my hair and explodes on the wall, right?
Uh-huh.
It's Dave Ball. He threw an ice ball 100 miles per hour, hoping to hit someone's head. But thankfully, it did not.
Yeah.
And I, like, got pissed and, like, came out of the bathroom. Like, what the fuck? How stupid is that? Are you trying to concuss or knock somebody out of the game this week?
Where were you in your pee when that happened?
I was, like, middle to the end, right? So I was getting ready to shake it out. And
so you still
like,
had, but you still had something
to go. So I couldn't go, yeah. But I knew it was him because I saw him, like, run out right after he did it, right? So I'm pissed. I'm yelling. I'm like, what the fuck? Such a bullshit. You blah, blah, whatever.
Was he just doing it to be funny or to mess with people?
He was doing it to be funny. But that was one where it's just like, that's not funny. That's stupid. You're going to give somebody a concussion. So I kind of went off. Well, I mean, he's a 275-pound D-lineman. There's only so much he's going to take of me mouthing off to him. Yeah. So eventually he kind of starts going, hey, you know what, Chris? Shut the fuck up or I'm going to beat your ass.
Oh.
And it kind of starts like that in the middle of the locker room. And he's like, come on, let's fight right now. And I went, I'm not fighting you. I said, you're 280. I'm not fighting you. Fuck you. Blah, blah, blah. You're a defensive tackle. You're supposed to beat me in a fight.
Yeah.
And like the locker room was like kind of went all crazy. Like, oh, Sims is using that reverse psychology. I was like, that's no reverse psychology. I really don't want to fight him. He's going to beat me up. So we all have those moments is where I was trying to explain to you there. Long story short.
So you verbally ran from that fight, right?
Verbally.
So
verbally, physically, whatever you want to say. I mean, if I had to go down, I was going to go down, but I wasn't going to volunteer.
You were the instigator, but you were definitely not a proponent.
I liked the guy anyways. We were friends, and I think it was one of those things, even after practice was over, like we felt bad and we made up or whatever, but yeah, the heat of the moment got me. And
you were probably closer because of it, right?
Gone
through that moment.
Oh, I love Dave Ball. He's awesome.
Right?
Dave is the man.
I feel like that's the cool thing, and this is a gross generalization, but that's the cool thing about guys. I feel like guys can go through that, and within an hour or two, they're closer than they ever have been before.
Agreed. Whether like, even if the punches are thrown, it can still go that way where you're like, man, he actually hit me in the head a few times. But we're cool now.
Yeah.
It is a guy thing.
We have a moment. We have a moment.
We have a moment
that
now.
We shared
That's
together.
Right. Yeah, right.
Okay, we have a moment.
Do we?
Yeah. We got a moment of going through your top four quarterbacks.
Whoa.
We're getting all the way to number one.
Whoa.
So people on Twitter have been trying to guess your final four in the order, and I've seen a few people go, wow, he's got Jalen Hurts in the top four. So they have not been following up to this point. Right. They have not heard. So it's going to be disappointing for those people to find out that you were not way high on him, but actually did not make the list.
Yep, he won't be making the top four this year.
So we'll go through that.
Have you seen the guesses? Like, what's I didn't really – I looked at social media a little on Friday.
Stop.
I know.
Don't do it anymore. You know what? It's gotten worse. Twitter, like, I'm almost going to be like – I'm going to take you off of it. I'm going to be like the parent. I'm going, does the benefit outweigh the harm?
Yeah.
Because I'm telling – it's gotten worse.
Yeah. I've had a few people say that to me over the last week. They're really shocked.
5 years ago,
right?
Maybe 10 years ago, you do this list. People kind of give their opinion, like, "Oh, I wouldn't do that," and this, but it's all in good fun, right? Yeah. Because that's what I like. Who knows who's going to have the? This is all your idea. This is not like someone's going to get cut because you have them off the list. There's just too many angry people, and I feel like they're all coming at you over this top 40 list.
There's a lot of angry people in the world right now.
What's
going
on
in the country? But yeah, I don't know. I didn't look once. Like I said, I looked for a minute on Friday, and I was like, okay, forget it. Let's move on with life. I would be interested. I should have done that. Like, what does everybody think my final four will be? You know, what's the prediction?
A lot of guesses. Pete says nobody was right.
Whoa.
In the order. So had the players a lot, had Rodgers number one. So we'll get the big reveal here. But this comment comes from White Castle Road.
Oh, that's my man. What up, White Castle Road?
Chris, do you think it's fair that you are getting more hate for having a 43-year-old quarterback is only 10th best in the league, while Ahmed ranked Cousin Zimmer above Hurt Sirianni and Dak McCarthy in his Super Brawl rankings?
Didn't we have this question or this statement last week?
We texted it.
Oh, texted it. That's what it was. I was like, damn, am I going deja vu here? Yes.
You're getting more hate for having an old man still as the top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
It's just like... Listen, I know it's Brady, and it's accentuated here because of his overall career greatness and all of those type of things and all of that. I know. You know, I thought I did a pretty good job of PFT today, try to explain it again because we were at number 10 on the show today. So, you know, again, it's not a disrespect. I like the player. We know that. He's got an awesome arm. He's a legend, all of those things.
Did Mike agree with you?
But he did. He did. But under pressure, he's not good. Sorry. I don't know what else to say. You know, and the extension of plays does not exist. You know, again, he needs a special team and formula around him. Does he bring other things to the team that are special? Certainly. I'm not trying to deny that. But I know people can't get off that, nor can anybody any year ever get off. Wait, one of the two Super Bowl quarterbacks is not one of the top fives? This is like every year. It doesn't really matter. You know, except for Nick Foles that one year. That was the one where, but even then.
And Trent Dilfer.
Well,
way back then,
I made him like 30 or something like that year. That year, and people were like, you know, before the Super Bowl, you know, that's crazy. He's way too high. He won the Super Bowl. You're an asshole. He's way too low. I mean, literally, it went just like that.
Yeah.
And then Jared Goff, I had the same thing. 19th, he went to the Super Bowl. They expected to be top three or four. But now they've seen 2 years of football, and no one bats an eye that he's 31. I mean, because they know. It's not about the player always. It's about the team. Stop giving the quarterback all the benefits of everything the team brings to the table as well. And I think that's where people get lost in the Brady conversation a little bit at times.
So we'll go 4-1. We'll see what kind of debate that sparks here. We also have WWE superstar The Miz. Are we doing that? Are we going to put that at the end of this pod, or is that like a separate video?
No, it's the end of this pod.
Okay, all right. We're going to Zoom with him, The Miz.
Good, awesome.
And we're going to go over the Super Brawl rankings.
And he's going to tell you how lay miserable your rankings
and
were.
Then
in
I'll,
some
and
parts.
Then I'll challenge him to a fight, and I can safely do that because I will never be in the same room as The Miz.
I don't know. WWE, the headquarters is right around the corner. So if he wants to fight, I will throw your ass in my car and drive you over there. Don't you worry.
I'll quit. I'll move before any of that happens. I'm okay doing that. I don't need any of this. So we got that coming up later on. And Pete ranked his top 10 quarterbacks in honor of Woodford Reserve that he wants to have a drink with. We got a lot to get to.
All right, let's get going.
Let's get it. In partnership with Woodford Reserve Bourbon, the Sims Top 40 quarterback countdown. We've gone from 40 all the way through 5, and now we got the top 4. And let's begin with the top 4. with a number four, a controversial character here. It got off-season issues, obviously. We'll talk about that in a second, but here is a Deshaun Watson.
That's right. I mean, hey, listen, we're talking about what's going on the football field here. Let's just be, you know, upfront with that. I'm not here to be a lawyer or judge people what they do. I am all about just the quarterback on the field.
And these are, and like, let's be honest here, these are serious allegations.
No
you
doubt.
Know, and from what the reporting has been, it could possibly be something that is extensive and has gone on for a while. Mike Florio wrote about it.
Yes.
Been nearly 3 months since his first of 22 lawsuits was filed against the Texans quarterback alleging misconduct during therapy sessions. The NFL has had a full and fair chance to conduct a preliminary investigation. Soon, he says, the NFL should decide whether Watson will be placed on leave pending the resolution of those cases. So it sucks, right? I mean, there's really no other way to put it. It sucks. It sucks for the alleged victims here. It sucks for everyone involved, and it sucks for a guy that, you know, I think we learned that you don't know everything about everyone, right? We see what they do on the football field. We don't know what goes on in the football field, and unfortunately, it's hard for us to ever know.
No.
Sometimes the character of these players, but what we're going to do on this show is we're going to evaluate the quarterback.
That's right.
And let the other stuff play out. And hopefully there's a resolution that's positive for everyone involved there. But we're going to focus on the quarterback.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, listen, yeah, it's not a good look for him. We know that. It's not a good look for the NFL, the Houston Texans, anything. It's a tough situation. And we don't know where it's going to go this year for Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans, whether he gets suspended, mm-hmm. you know, puts on the, you know, commissioner exempt list and still gets paid. I don't know. There's a lot to be resolved.
And all that stuff is still secondary.
It's still secondary.
It's still secondary to what's happening off the field. That's the most important thing in his life and the victims' lives. And
yeah.
So this is secondary, but this is the top 40 quarterback list. And what he did last year was very impressive.
Well, he's a special football player. You know, as far as between the lines go, he is definitely one of the best our sport has to offer. And really what I want to say is just like, what more can he do? Really, what more can he do? He's phenomenal in every aspect. There's really no weakness to his game. He's a great example of just saying, listen, see, you need a team. You can't, I don't care who you are. Watson is phenomenal. He maximizes everything. He is an elite passer, thrower of the football. He wants to stay in the pocket to the very last second possible. And then his movement, come on, it's as good as anybody in the sport, really, other than maybe Lamar and Kyler Murray and maybe another guy here or there. But like, whether that's hopping around the pocket to make throws or getting out of the pocket and being the Tasmanian devil in it and then getting out to make a play, you know, he's special that way. So he delivers everything that's there to be had within the offense, okay? And then some, and a lot more than some. Because I would argue and sit here and tell you, hey, listen, their offense schematically is nothing special, hasn't been. Offensive line, hey, it's better now than it was, but not special. You know that. Receivers, good, not great. No running game to talk about at all. I believe they were 31st in football in the running game. Yet they were still, what, a top 12 or 13 offense? Because it's all on number four. And number four does it all. Now, and again, if the teams are close enough, right, if his team isn't so far outmatched, he might be able to pull off the victory for you. But, you know, again, they had a tough year last year. Yeah, 4-12. He wasn't supposed to beat the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers, you know, or even the Vikings. They're all better teams than the Houston Texans. And for the most part, like I'm saying, if the teams are even somewhat close or there to be had, other than the Bears game, he will, like I said, take what's there. But the other thing that I love about Deshaun Watson, and here's where we're getting into the category of guys where, you know, I talked about Ryan Tannehill and Justin Herbert last week where, you know, there's times where I go, hey, you're too good. Your team's not playing good. Now's the time to kind of start taking chances and make something happen, right? Mm-hmm. Watson is one of the kings of kind of knowing when that point is to go, wait, we're down 14-0. Nothing's happened. I got to start to push the envelope. Now, the team fails him at times in those scenarios where he might get a few first downs, and then it's first down completion, second down completion, and it's 3rd and 1, and they run the ball up the middle, and they get a 2-yard loss, and they still have to punt it, and you go, well, Watson did everything he can. He can't call the plays and block and run and do all those things. So you got to take all that account, but a special talent, and he's an incredible deep ball thrower, an incredible playmaker, and he just needs more support around him, plain and simple. That's all there is to the story.
He was 4 last year, so right where he was last year at the beginning of the year. He moved down to 6th in your November top 10 rankings, where we saw a little bit of movement right there.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at Kristen. Have we shown his 2020 rank? So exactly what he did last year. And you're right. It was Pete notes here, 8.1 under pressure yards per attempt was the best in the NFL. So when they rushed him, he was very good. Now, the one thing that he does have problems with, you see, was first in pass yards there in the NFL, first in yards per attempt. So they were getting big chunk plays over and over and over again, doing it without DeAndre Hopkins, doing it without his head coach there for part of the year. So it was all on the shoulders of Deshaun Watson, and on the football field he was able to do well. The one thing that he gets sacked quite a bit.
Yeah, that's
the
does. One,
and I always, you know, sometimes that's just trying to make a play.
Sure.
But it does seem like with him that sometimes it's, I don't know, a lack of awareness and then a lack of elusiveness from the defensive, which is weird because he's such a elusive character that sometimes it seems like I don't know why he takes so many sacks.
Well, he'll hang in there to the last possible second.
Yeah.
He does not look to go, let me look downfield, nobody's open, and now let me just run out of the pocket and do it that way. He is going to go, let me look at one. Let me look at two. Mm-hmm. Let me check the pass rush. Okay, I'm okay. All right, it's getting tight. Let me see. Three might come open. Let me check again. Okay, it's closing. Now I got to start moving.
Yeah.
And sometimes he waits too long, and then it just collapses, and he can't get out of it. You know, it's a little bit of the, hey, it's the gift and the curse. It's like we've talked about with Russell Wilson. It's like we're going to talk about with some of these other quarterbacks coming up here in the top four.
Right.
You know, that's part of the game of, you know, it's their greatness, yes, but you're going to have to live with that a little bit. It's like your Barry Sanders back in the day.
Sure.
You know, here's a 40-yard run. You're going to have to deal with a -2-yard run every now and then. He tried to break a guy's ankle, make a big play. He got tackled for a loss, right?
Could be 10 in a row kind of like
right.
that
could
with
be
Barry Sanders. Yeah,
right. Exactly right. It could be. He was to the point sometimes where you're like, please just go forward a little bit
yes.
more.
And then he rips off one for 50 yards.
And you go, he's amazing. I'm sorry, I questioned you.
Yeah, I'm sorry for doubting
you. Yeah, right. Yeah. You're awesome. But, you know, I think that's the first thing that comes to me. You know, yes. There's a negative, is that maybe he can hold on. We've talked about, I've used the phrase of too much of maybe being the last play of the game mentality for Deshaun Watson. I thought that improved last year.
Mm.
I don't think it was as much as we've seen in years past. I do think he got the ball out of his hand on time and in rhythm a lot more than we've seen in years past. And also, with lesser help around him. You know, again, no DeAndre Hopkins and no defense. You know, yards per attempt, yards per completion were all towards the top of football. Their running system stunk. And, of course, what? He was second on the team in rushing. He is the Houston Texans.
He was their whole team.
He was their whole team. And there was nothing else to write about. It's a horrible defense, like I said. So, yeah, I'm a huge believer in him and everything he does on the football field because it's all done at a pretty elite level.
He was PFF noted in their rankings of all the quarterbacks. He was surrounded by the league's second least efficient running game.
Right.
Second least efficient overall defense last season.
There
so it was
go.
Like both sides of the ball.
Right.
It was all on Deshaun Watson. Do you think this was his best year? Like, it was this a career year? He's been good up to this point, but was this the best one?
I think just from purely quarterback play, it was. I mean, it's hard. You know, you're never going to look at it and go 4-12, no playoffs, best year, all those type of things. But I think, like, if you just graded him and on his play, decision-making, you know, accuracy, did he miss this throw? Should we have gotten a 70-yard completion and not a 40-yard completion? I do think it's his best year. I do. I think he was extremely efficient. And, hey, let's not take into account, the team failed him a few times here throughout the year, too. I mean, they're on the doorstep and going to beat the Colts. Guy snaps the ball on the ground. They lose. He throws the ball to Kiki Kuti over the middle. They're going to go down and score and win the game against the Colts again. He fumbles on the 2-yard line going in. So, you know, and at times he plays phenomenal. And to like what you just said right there, the defense can't stop anything. So he could be – there's games where you go, shit, he's 20 for 22 right now for 300 yards, and they're losing by 14.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad they were. So, yes, he's phenomenal, and he's the perfect example of don't put it all on the quarterback. And if he was on a better team, it'd be way better results. And he's been making that team look better than it really is for the last 2 or 3 years. He gave them the false sense of confidence to be able to, hey, let's trade around DeAndre Hopkins and let's rebuild our defense a little on the fly, because they thought that he could still kind of carry them and get them over the hump. And no, it just was too little for him to make it happen last year.
He was one of three quarterbacks to complete 70% of his passes this year. Can you name the other two?
Hold on a second.
70%.
So 70%. So Drew Brees got over 70.
Drew Brees.
Right. Hold on. Hold on a second. Damn. I want to say Josh Allen, but he might have been 69 and change.
I think he was 69 and change.
Okay, who is it?
Your boy Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I don't. Duh. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Deshaun Watson.
Right.
70% of their passes while also taking shots downfield and big plays, which is very impressive for Deshaun.
That's the point. That's the point. Like, no dink and dunk.
Yeah.
Like, we're here. You're dropping back. We're looking for big throws constantly. And, you know, you already laid it out. Yards per attempt, yards per completion. He led football.
Yeah.
You know, so there's something to be said about that. He's an incredible talent, like we said. And, yeah, to be able to throw those type of throws and always be accurate, he's one of the better deep ball throwers in all of football. You know, 20, 25, 30-yard throws down the sideline, down the middle, whatever. He never loses control. He throws a perfect spiral. It's very catchable always. He's a leader. He's tough. You know, hey, I know we got crap going on off the field. I'm talking about on the field. He does a lot of special things for that team. And he is one of those guys. Despite what you want to think of as a person, sorry, when he's on the field or in your locker room, that team goes, we got a chance. Yeah. We might win today because we got four.
You think we see him this year?
No. If not, I feel like we're not going to see him until maybe past the halfway point, something like that. I would imagine that this doesn't get settled and the NFL puts him on the commissioner exempt list and he's there until, you know, a little more comes out with the 20, whether it's a deal or or something here. I don't know, but yeah. I would imagine he's not playing early in the year.
All right, that is number four. And so we have hit now the top three. And I think everyone knows by this point, they should, who the three are, but they don't know the order. The only person who knows the order is Chris Sims.
And you.
And me. I'm looking at the rundown right here. But before, previously, I did not know that. And Matt Casey and Pete know the order as well, and probably the people that you told.
Yes.
But outside of that, no one knows, and there could have been some internal debates. Like, some people think, like, you have this top 40 list, and then a month ago, and then we just release it. But no, you're always constantly evaluating, reevaluating. Does that include the top three here?
Well, Pete, always before we do the day before, right? Like, so... And you've seen the text, like, hey, are you okay with the order for tomorrow? Because there's been times where I go, hey, switch this guy with that guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've been thinking about it all weekend. I'm going to put him at – this was maybe my toughest ranking of all right here. This spot, 2 and 3, was the hardest for me, I think, on the whole list. I went back many times, but I've stuck with what I had here now for, I'm going to say, 2 or 3 weeks. And I haven't changed it, and it's not changing today.
All right, so then your number three quarterback of 2021 is?
Oh, Aaron Rodgers. Oh. You're still the greatest I've ever seen. Sorry for dropping you to three. Man, Aaron Rodgers. Yes, I know he's number three. It hurts my soul. It really does. You know, and hopefully everybody can appreciate this for me just being honest in my evaluation. I don't play favorites, even though this is my favorite quarterback of all time. He is. And I still think he's the greatest I've ever seen. Yeah, that's right. But MVP, I know people are going to have a hard time kind of swallowing, you know, the fact that he's the MVP and it was 45 and 8 and what are you, or 48 and 5, excuse me. And he dropped a spot. Well, I mean, you know, it's almost like I want to have the conversation with him and the next guy. I want to reveal it so we can go, but I won't do that quite yet.
Should we do it? Pete, let's do it. Hey, Kristen, are you ready to roll the front end
for number two?
You ready to roll that?
Let's go, so we can have the conversation and just do it this way.
And number two for you then is?
Giddy up, Josh Allen. Giddy up, it's my boy Blue. That's right. Wow. Man, I'm telling you, it's my boy Blue. It's old Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I went back and forth with this. You can ask the Sims family. Had a lot of conversations. Had a few conversations around football, too, about this specific spot. Because I was like, wait, I'm torn. They're both awesome. They both throw lasers everywhere around the football field. Of course, Rodgers is still so surgical with decision making, accuracy, and all of those type of things. I mean, his arm is still, it's only behind the two guys that are in front of him in football. It's still a phenomenal, world-class, changing, game-changing type arm, you know. But with all that stuff, the experience, yes, he's better at maybe reading a defense and getting the ball out of his hands quickly. He might be even, yes, a little bit more accurate and, wait, quick decision, boom, let me get it there.
Right.
But it's not enough Okay, yeah, he has the advantage of that over Josh Allen. But it's not enough to overcome all the motherfucking plays Josh Allen makes. It's unbelievable. When you go back and watch it, I mean, you certainly could argue that Josh Allen was the MVP of football last year. You certainly could. I mean, again, a team with no running system. He was second on their team in rushing. You know, you got to add his 8 touchdown rushes to the mix, too, because it's a big part of what they do. When they get in the 6-7 yard line, they ask Josh Allen to score touchdowns, running right. the ball. And, you know, he made more game-changing, game-saving, unbelievable plays than maybe anybody in football last year, Josh Allen. Hmm. And that's why he got the ranking. Whether it's 3rd and 22, we're down to the Rams. Oh, wait, that's Aaron Donald on my back? And he shrugs him off and then runs to the right and throws a laser down the middle on 3rd and 22 against right. the best defense in football. Oh, we needed a touchdown then to go win the game? No problem, guys. Okay. You know, oh, it's 2nd and 10 in the playoff game. We're on our own 2-yard line. All the momentum's against us. I can't find it. He scrambles to the right, throws a 40-yard bomb perfectly down the right sideline. It's just that all year long. It's all year long. So, yes, Rodgers, more accurate. Definitely a little bit more of like I'm the surgical, like I'm talking about.
Yep.
But not so much more that he makes up for the difference of what Josh Allen brings to the playmaking table now. Josh wow. Allen really got into surgical mode himself, too. You watched him all year last year. He was great from the pocket. But the thing is when there was nobody open or the pocket broke down, you know, you could argue nobody was more dangerous in football than Josh Allen last year. And what he did, like, outside the pocket, manipulate coverage, throw a laser somewhere.
There was a CBS story that talked about his hero ball element from the game.
Sure.
And he said he's basically eliminated that from his game. His turnover-worthy plays have gone from 5.1% as a rookie to 4% to then 3.5% last year. And so taking care of the ball.
Taking care of the ball. Let's just stop there because yes. I want you to keep going.
Okay.
Taking care of the ball, and everything's on him. They don't try to run the ball. They don't try to do anything. Defense was average all last year. It is literally like nobody plays the game more through their quarterback and puts the game on their quarterback, in my opinion, on Josh Allen or Mahomes
sure.
more. Are they even more? Because at least Rodgers has a decent defense. He has a top-tier pass-protecting offensive line, and he has a run game to go along with it. So not disrespecting Rodgers here, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying those other two teams basically just go, here's the ball, quarterback. We're going to put you in shotgun. Make it happen. Throw lasers today. And that's where, to me, he has surpassed Rodgers, who, again, you know I love my Aaron Rodgers. I love him. It was not easy for me to do this, but the Bills aren't 13-3. Unless they have Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes.
I mean,
Mahomes.
Look at the jump up. If you're watching yeah. on YouTube right now, you see 2018, 2019, and then 2020. He was last in completion percentage 2018, 2019, and then fourth last year, just below 70%. He was fifth in passing yards. You're right. They put it on his shoulder, and it was something they hadn't done previously.
No.
They thought he could handle it,
right.
and he not only handled it, he excelled and took him up to number two on your list here. But... man, Aaron Rodgers won the MVP last year, and he had a historic year in a career that has been historic
yes.
in 2020, and his season ranks are up there.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
Yeah. This is a tough list, man.
This list for you
yeah.
is not about, you know, can a guy do this for 5 more years? It's, is he going to be the better quarterback
right now
in 2021?
Exactly. Thank
you. So you're saying you have a team that you're drafting for, right? And Patrick Mahomes is off the board, and so you're sitting there at number two, and you got 1 year to win the Super Bowl, and you got the guy who just won the. You don't need Aaron Rodgers to be good in 2022, 2023, 2024. You just need him to be good in 2021, and even in that just one short year period, the experience that Rodgers brings. All that, the playmaking ability of Josh Allen is just greater in your eyes to unseat Aaron. You would pass
yeah.
on Aaron Rodgers and go Josh Allen.
I would, yeah, right now. I think he can make more out of less, okay? That's really
yep.
what I'm coming down to.
Sure.
You know, and yeah, like, you know, you're spot on. You know, again, if it was, you know,
you'd have people in your room going, are you sure you want to do
this?
Yeah,
exactly right. Right. You're exactly right. And I'd go, you know, I know he's going to give us everything we want. He's going to yeah. do all the right things with the football and all that type of stuff, too. But my argument would be like, hey, get over it. Get over the old narrative. Josh Allen does the right thing with the football, too. He does it. He takes care of it. you know, let alone he makes some of the most unbelievable plays you'll ever see. He mm-hmm. is the Buffalo Bills. He's the Buffalo Bills right now. This is like Aaron Rodgers 6-7 years ago. This is what I feel like we're watching with him and Mahomes. He is them. You know, yeah, they have a good offense, good offensive line, not great. Way below average running game. You know, passing weapons are good, not great. I think people overrate them. Diggs is awesome. I mean, John Brown, there's a reason he signed a $1 million contract with another team. It's not he's not what everybody tried to make him up to be to bring down Josh Allen in the, you know, overall big picture of the world. That's what people tried to do last year.
Right.
Their weapons were better. That's why he's better. Oh, okay. I know none of the other quarterbacks have any weapons. But, like, here's to me where, like, and obviously everybody can count and knows, like, Mahomes is coming up at number one. But this is to me where this new age quarterback is different, right? And Josh Allen, I'll even throw Watson in this mix a little bit this way, but really Josh Allen and Mahomes, right? To where, first off, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to say this first. I have a few points written down. So I'm already down here.
I know you're like revealing three quarterbacks at once. We've never done this before.
I know.
I'm
sorry.
On the pod.
I think it's good to have this conversation like this instead of like, because it is about these three next
Correct.
To each other, right?
Yep.
So, okay.
It's like what separates them.
Right. So, I mean, Allen, amazing, carries the offense, does everything like that. The difference between him and Mahomes right now and the rest of the world, even Rodgers, anybody else, you know, I said Watson because he does do this a little too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hot routes, right? Hot routes. You know, you blitz, you got to get the ball out to a certain guy, right? So let's just say they're bringing the weak side blitz. It's the will, the free safety. It's four guys coming with. Like, the quarterback play is now whoever that receiver over there, I'm going to give him a signal or a route, something short, and now since they blitz there, there's going to be a little voided area. We're going to throw it quick in there and get the ball, right? That's the true quarterback 101. That's what Rodgers and Brady are going to do. Allen and Mahomes also know how to do that. But they're going to go, I'll block one of them. I'm not so sure I'm going to let you off the hook and just throw this slant, though. I'm not so sure. I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to give this guy a down-the-field throw, see if he gets open maybe before this guy gets here to me, and I might hit him. But if he doesn't get open right away, then I'll just let this guy get close to me, and I'll make a miss. And then Diggs is going to be down the other sideline. It's one-on-one. I'm going to throw a 40-yard laser. That's where they're different. They just – it's constant pressure. It's all about them. It's all about, you know, just give him the ball and let's make guys go down the field and do this because they'll maximize every play we throw at them. And to me, that's where they've separated from Rodgers a little bit.
Sure.
You know, the accuracy has not been an issue for Josh Allen for 2 years. What he's finally done now as compared from the jump of 2019 to 2020 is the decision-making's gotten better. You know – some of his best plays in Wyoming or even 2019 are these throws as quadruple coverage. And like I've told you before, it gets in there and hits the receiver, and he just didn't think it's going to get there. He drops it or whatever. They're amazing throws, but it's just you go, don't make the decision. Don't make that throw.
Mm-hmm.
Now he knows when to kind of make that and when not to. And that's to me where he's gone next level on the whole NFL and why I gave him the slight edge over Aaron Rodgers.
Let's put a bow on Aaron Rodgers here. One more thing.
Sorry.
Because his last three seasons have been elite. I mean, it's been elite his whole career.
99 and what?
Seems like he's getting better.
I think it's 99 touchdowns and 9 interceptions in
the
last 3 years.
Which is crazy. What was it? Last year you were saying, I hope he throws a few more interceptions because I want him to take chances. Well, he took more chances, but he didn't necessarily throw more interceptions.
I know.
You got the good without any of the bad. So here's the last 3 years for Aaron Rodgers, one of his best just last year.
I still think he tries to play too perfect, to your point.
Okay.
So I do think that a
little
bit.
Still like maybe a couple more
interceptions. Yeah, again, I'd have been happy because if he threw 8 or 9 interceptions, he probably had 52 touchdown passes.
I mean, 48 touchdowns to 5 interceptions.
That's insane. I know.
So he was number one on your list in 2018.
Yeah.
Number one in 2019. He was number three to start last year and then moved up to number two in November. Is there anything he can do to get back into that top spot? Is there anything that could happen in 2021 where you say, you know what? I would take Aaron Rodgers over everyone after what I just saw.
Yeah. I mean, if I felt like Allen and Mahomes fell off, I mean, I'm not going to like, you know,
it would take them slipping up.
I think it's going to take them slipping too. And then him playing still phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to take that.
Yeah.
You know, there's such forces of nature right now. Those two. They really are. Like I said, everything is dictated around them, even their run game, you know. So that's where they're special. I mean, really, like, you know, again, we know Lamar and Kyler Murray, right? They're the best running quarterbacks in football. Who's third?
Josh Allen.
Yeah. Who's fourth?
Deshaun Watson.
Or Mahomes. I mean, it's one of them. Yeah. It's one of them. Right. Probably Watson gets the edge there. Mm-hmm. And then it's Mahomes. But, I mean, that's what kind of guy we're talking about here. We're talking like, whoa, unbelievable decisions, unbelievable right arm. What almost runs as good as Lamar and Kyler Murray? Like, it's the modern day super freak we got right now at the quarterback position. And Mahomes and Allen, to me, yeah, they're you know, their smarts, their mental approach to the game, their aggressive approach to decision making, and then their pure physical ability, to me, puts more pressure on defenses than any two quarterbacks in football right now. Yeah, Rodgers does a little bit more with, like, I'm going to get us in the right play, and I know where to get the ball out real quick against this coverage. You're not going to be able to stop this no matter what in this coverage. Yeah, does he have that advantage over both of them? Yes. But like I said, it's the other stuff that I think, you know, puts them above him and makes them solidly 1 and 2 for me.
All right, so Allen was 18th. Last year, moved all the way up to 5th in your November top 10 rankings. You've always been high on Josh Allen. Right. You've always thought that he could harness some of his great ability.
Yes.
He could become a more accurate passer.
Yep.
This was interesting because you're a big mechanics guy.
Yep.
That's how you evaluate a lot of these quarterbacks, the draft quarterbacks coming out. Recently, Josh Allen was asked about his mechanics, and you talked about it a little bit
with him. We've had these conversations. Yep.
This was a quote recently. He said, physically, just making sure you're staying on top of your mechanics and everything sequencing correctly. I got a guy, Chris, who owns biometrics. Is that you?
No, it's not. Sorry.
That came out last week. I did some more digital mapping of my mechanics, just making sure I'm staying on top of that and allowing my muscle memory to kind of take that in and stop reverting back to old ways.
Yeah.
So here is an NFL quarterback who's been throwing his whole life, who is making sure he's doing biometric mapping of his motion, of his hips, of his arm.
Because sequencing is a real thing.
I mean, it's so important that he's bringing guys out, and they're doing it every year, even after his best year ever.
He's when I went and visited him 2 years ago, I knew he was the man. All right, that was when I went there. It was only 1 year in, but I went, oh, he's the man. And I could tell the whole team was already like, man, he's the man. He's awesome. He's going to be a superstar. You could tell being there.
Yeah.
He's all in on it. He lives there. He loves it. It's what he does. You know, he wants to be great. You know, he wants to be Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Tom. He wants to be that kind of guy. I see that within him. And then, of course, we saw the step last year that we talked to. I think we talked about it a little. Maybe that was me and Florio. But, I mean, last year, you know, just tells you where he was at early in the year because they gave it all to him right away. Mm-hmm. I think it was you and me last year. We were talking about, like, week two, the Dolphins game. All of a sudden, they were just – I kept going, oh, they're going to manage him here. The game's getting close in the fourth quarter. And it was just the opposite. It was like, no, just fucking keep throwing it deep.
Yeah.
And that's where I went, whoa, they trust him and everything along with that. But my point to saying all that is because he does the stuff you're talking about. See, they can trust him when they know the guy's all in all the time. Hey, he's always here. He's always with Dayball. He's always working on his mechanics. He's always throwing with the receivers. He's always talking ball. He put on the film and just watched third downs today. Like, so that gives them the confidence to go, here's the keys. Go ahead. You got it. You're the man. And, yeah, he's all over that. And sequencing's important, as we talked about with a lot of the quarterback breakdown stuff.
Yeah.
You know, right? You know, you can be all in the same positions, but if you're leading through the elbow like a Justin Fields or doing something wrong, it could lead to the wrong sequencing as you're throwing the ball after the release, to which the ball is going to go anywhere. So he's all over all of that type of
stuff. And he's got such a strong arm that you figure, like, of all people, he might just be like, I'm just going to use my – I don't need to really worry about the nitty-gritty and all that. I've got the arm strength to overcome a bad, you know, bad mechanics.
Right.
And he still doesn't. And he knows that helps him his accuracy, and it certainly did last year. Now – they're offensively, you mentioned it. I mean, they put it on his shoulder. He still had the most – play action yards of anyone in 2020, which you wonder how do you get away with that if no one's really scared of their running game there. Do you think that going into this year that they're going to need to figure out some sort of I mean, at some point teams are just going to go like, all right, you really aren't going to run the ball.
No. I mean, you could argue that last year. It's like you would have said, like, I believe I even said this on some podcast at the end of the year. Like, if you see them running the ball, I mean, your linebackers, just run around the other way. Like, just show them they're going to – prove to me you're going to run the ball a few times is what I wanted to say to some defenses. Like, show me. and then I'll stop biting on the play action. And then you start doing that. Mm-hmm. But you're right. That's why play action is amazing. Daboll's amazing from that because he's learned from New England and just the effect it has. And then when you have a guy who has a big arm, if you just get like one slight wrong step from the linebacker, he can find, oh, there's a slight hole. I'll throw the laser to Diggs. Boom, it doesn't matter. But to your question, yes, they have to change. And there's talk up there. If you read the press clippings and everything like that, they know that. They realize they're going to be, I think, a little bit, you know, I don't want to say the Steelers, but realize, like, we can't just ask this guy to go, hey, drop back 45 times and just make everybody miss and run all over the field and make every throw possible and win right. the games. That's not realistic to ask for a second year in a row. So I do think you're going to see more of a balanced attack on the offensive side of the ball from them this year. I think that's what Sean McDermott wants to do. He just early on last year, they kind of realized, wait, we're not blocking that well. We're struggling. And they had to kind of abandon, I think, the way they really wanted to play, especially with the Dolphins and the Rams in week two or three, who really just took away their run game.
Right.
And that changed things. But, yes, to your point, they have to change.
Yeah, because I mentioned that his rate of turnover-worthy plays has gone down each of the last 3 years. But Pro Football Focus noted that he still had the second most turnover-worthy plays. That's because they just threw the ball so much. He had more opportunities. So the sheer amount was still high just because they put it all
on his shoulder.
I know,
but what is a turnover-worthy play?
Good question.
Like, you know, this is where I don't know, and I've seen stuff of this before where I just want to go, is a turnover-worthy play a ball that, like, could have been intercepted, but he threw the most perfect pass just outside the guys and it got complete? Because then I would go, it's, you know, it's like the Mahomes thing where I go, you know, oh, it's luck. Oh, it's luck. Oh, it's yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, that's the 74th time I've said that today. It's not luck anymore. Like, that's where I don't know.
Maybe a dropped.
I would like to know that. Yeah, maybe dropped exactly. interceptions. I'm sure some of that happened. I mean, he definitely had some dropped interceptions as the year. You're gonna have to play the style they play.
Well, that's a skill too because he throws it so hard, and maybe DBs can't catch it.
I do think there is something to that. Yes, right.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking.
Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
I was looking at odds for MVP.
Yeah.
And there was a sport book. It was not our NBC Sports Points Bet Sportsbook, although I'm sure they have similar numbers here. It was the most popular ticket for MVP, like who has gotten the most tickets, who's bought the most tickets. And Josh Allen is tied with Matthew Stafford as the number of tickets that they've sold.
What are his odds right now? Like, they're probably pretty good odds, right?
Yeah, I don't know what Points Bet is at right now, but according to this, Allen's at like plus 1,000, Stafford's at plus 2,000. So it's a couple quarterbacks that you're getting decent
for good value,
odds on. I don't
right.
know if they're that Allen would be the favorite. I doubt he would. It would be Mahomes, and then it would be Rodgers after that. And then maybe Brady.
So. Maybe
even.
Brady, yeah.
But Josh Allen's getting the sheer, because you get a little value with Josh Allen. I think that makes a whole lot of sense. As far as total money wagered, Allen is tied for second with Brady and Patrick Mahomes and Matthew Stafford. I thought this was interesting. According to this one sports book, though, they've taken the most money on Baker Mayfield.
Well, he'd
they
be
have
another
plus
one.
Plus 2,000,
yeah.
So maybe a value there.
That would be value for sure.
But Josh Allen's in this conversation either way. And so, he really, when you think of who could win the MVP, he's a top four. He's a top four MVP candidate, and it's not a stretch to see how he could win it this year.
No, it's not. I mean, of course, hey, the team's got to play well. We know he's got to have another year that's similar to what he had. Nobody made more highlight unbelievable plays than Josh Allen last year. He led football in that category. And that's over Patrick Mahomes, yeah. who I'm saying is like the human highlight film.
Was it
that's
so good,
amazing.
Though? Was
yes.
it so good
yes.
that he can't help but take a step back this year?
I think you will take a step back if they try to play the same way they did last year.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. It's just too much to ask of the guy with not enough talent around it to help.
He could almost fall into the Lamar Jackson trap, right? Where Lamar Jackson was so good, and you talked about it on the last pod with Paul, where he was so good.
Then this year was good, but nobody wanted to give it credit because
maybe they
like,
played a little differently, you know, and who knows how that affected the numbers. But the numbers might, like, if they do change it and they take some off of his plate and they have a little bit better running game and his numbers are down because of that, you look at him and be like, oh, he wasn't quite as good as he was last year. That could hurt him.
Well, it could. It could. But I still think with him, regardless, and Daboll, they're so aggressive. He's going to make his plays and do his type of thing. So even if the numbers are less, it's going to be about the importance of those plays. You know, what kind of magnitude or what effect did they have on the game? And to me, that's where he's amazing. See, he had, like, him and Mahomes clearly, to me, had the most game-changing, you know, effectiveness with throws and completions where you're going, oh, wow, they're in trouble. Oh, they made two or three throws. Now they have the power. The momentum's on their side. The game somehow has swung in their pendulum. Right. Or they're like, oh, they're kind of winning. They're kind of dominating. It's 10-0. Are they really going to make a few more plays? They're like, go up 20-0 or 24? Oh, they are. Okay. See, that's where they're amazing. They can really like, oh, we're down and bring back momentum. Or, hey, we're winning. It's time to put the dagger in. Here it comes. Dagger. Like, that's where they're really special that way.
He is special. He's more special, you think, going into this year than Aaron Rodgers, who you have at number three. Number two is Josh Allen. We've already mentioned it, but now let's officially. This is the official unveiling of the Woodford Reserve Bourbon top quarterback in the Chris Sims 2021 rankings. That man is...
That's right. I mean, that's my homie, your homie, my homie. Whenever he's on, I watch my homie, your homie, my homie, my homie and me. That's right. Patrick Mahomes is still the number one quarterback in football. He's the best player in the NFL. You know, there's really, again, we're talking about a guy that's got no weakness to his football game. There's really not. I mean, everything, whether it's quick decisions, right decisions, unbelievable throws off platforms, throwing in the pocket, subtle moves in the pocket, you know, the ability to extend plays outside the pocket, throwing balls off of, you know, imbalanced footwork and things like that. There's nobody better in the game. And, of course, I don't know if there's a team or an offense that's more based around one guy and his talents, you know, really in the NFL. And literally, I don't know if there's been one more that I can think of really in recent history that he would even compound with that. I mean, it's, again, we're watching a guy who's gone to the AFC Championship game, the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl, and they basically have just gone, here you go. Defense, okay, solid, nothing great. It's all on you. Shotgun, we're going to call plays that have never been seen in the history of the NFL, and we're just zoom, 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 and you just float around back there and make it happen. Oh, okay, no problem. Two Super Bowl appearances and an AFC Championship appearance. No big deal. I mean, it's insane what they've asked of him, how he delivers. Yes, they're talented, but, I mean, I don't know. I think it speaks for itself. Was it a down year a little bit for him last year? Yeah, okay. You know, he was banged up a little bit here and there, but still, they had the bullseye on their back. Nobody brings more belief and magic to the football field, to their team on a weekly basis than Patrick Mahomes.
So you said maybe he had a little bit of a down year last year. Let's take a look at his 2020 ranks. You, of course, had him number one last year. Patrick Mahomes was number two in 2019. So 2 years in a row, number one Chris Sims quarterback. His completion percentage was 13th last year. But his passing yards were second in the league, yards per attempt fourth, touchdowns fourth, and touchdowns of 20 or more yards was first. He had 13 of those. Doesn't necessarily mean he threw the ball deep down the field, because I think there's a couple at least that Tyreek was able to take to the house.
Probably a few, yeah.
There were some short passes. And that was the story early on with them, because they, for so long, have been a, you know, down the field, Patrick Mahomes on his right arm. They were a little more dink and dunk last year
at
times.
Yeah, they hit a few, you know, snags in the road, or that's not really the – something snags and something.
Yeah.
But, well, they played a – you know, of course, listen, you play Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. The one thing we've seen is, yeah, just like the Super Bowl, the teams who play deep coverage have given them issues. Mm. You know, so we saw the Chargers in week two. They gave them issues. Baltimore, better defense, the next week, plays a ton of man-to-man. That matches up great with them. They love that. See, it's a league of matchups. It's not always about, like, oh, we're this much better than this team and not that much better than that team. Sometimes it's about the scheme, the matchup. The Raiders, though, we know they gave them problems. That's what they did. Drop back. Play deep. See if they'll throw it underneath. You know, that was the big thing. That, to me, where I was shocked by the Super Bowl still. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
You know, listen, you say what you want. I know Mahomes wasn't 100%. That game plan was not good. That's all there is to be said about it. And that's got to be the next part of the offense. I saw Mahomes make a quote this past week about, I think we're going to get the running backs involved in the passing game more this year. Yeah, you got to. They have to grow that part of their offense. You know, it was nothing. Was Mahomes a little greedy in the Super Bowl? Sure. But they took the game plan from that first game and didn't get the same game plan from the defense as that first game. And they never changed, never did anything. So that's where they have to grow to help him out a little bit. So he doesn't always have to, like, oh, team's playing us better or they're playing us tough. We don't change anything. I'm just expected to make more unbelievable plays.
Right.
Oh, it's the Super Bowl. Scramble to the left. Nobody's open. Let me throw a ball running to my left on with my right arm across my body, 30 yards down the field, and it hits Tyreek Hill in the face at the one-yard line, right? Or some of those drops. Like, that's what they asked them to do. Like, they're covering us extra good, so you have to throw it extra gooder today. And it's like, no, that's not realistic to ask of a guy all the time.
And
let alone they have no pass protection in that game.
Right. And injuries on the offensive line. They've tried to revamp that offensive line. Looks like they've done a pretty good job. So he should have more protection in 2021.
Amazing job.
Won't hit any snags in the road because of that. Pete thinks it's just snags.
Yeah.
I guess snags.
It does
seem like there's something that
with
roads. I think
there is something else. But
right? Like a bump in
bump
the road.
Bump in the road.
Bump
that's
in the road
it
is it. Snags is just hit a snag. I guess it is just hit a snag. Just
yeah.
a snag. There's
right.
no snags in roads. there's a story on NFL.com that talks about Mahomes learning to do more with less. I want to know if you agree with this.
Yeah.
It says here, quote, "It's important to note here that Mahomes is an eternal optimist. He believes he can win regardless of what's surrounding him. The problem is that he has never gone into a season with more questions about his receiving core." That was on NFL.com, the headline there.
Yeah.
You find that true? I mean, it's not a whole lot of turnover there, I guess.
No.
Sammy and...
It's just about who's going to be that second guy.
I guess.
That's really what it's about. But you're
it's
right.
It's been Kelsey as
and
the
Tyreek.
Second guy.
Right, yeah. So those
enough.
Are one and two. You're right. That's all they need. I think the question there is just about who's going to be that next guy that jumps up. Well,
right.
Mecole Hardman,
yes.
DeMarcus Robinson, Brian Pringle. Who exactly will that be? I do think you're going to see more of the Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the pass game and hopefully a little bit more variety in their attack either way. But, like, the point is what you said right there. Listen, he's the greatest equalizer in the sport. I mean, the greatest they beat the Dolphins and the Saints late in the year, right? 32-9, 33-27. They didn't play good. They didn't block anybody. For 8 quarters straight, they didn't block anybody. And he still threw 8 touchdowns and 2 interceptions or whatever else. He can almost overcome anything. And I still believe even in the Super Bowl with no blocking, if his toe was healthy, I still think it would have been closer for sure. I really do believe that.
Are you worried about that toe at all?
I'm glad you're asking me this. I do worry about it because it's one of those things, just one wrong step, somebody steps on it the wrong way, and all of a sudden it's full-fledged back 100% to the way it was.
It's like A.J. Green. It seems like he's been dealing with a toe for his whole second half of his career.
It made Deion Sanders retire.
That's true.
That's why he retired. It's a way more serious injury than people realize. So I do worry about that. Here's my only worries about Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen within the next 5 to 6 years, okay? I have no worries about anything they do on the football field. I worry about both of them gaining too much weight. If I was going to be, because I'm friends of theirs, like they don't know it, but I'm telling you, I'm friend. I like them a lot.
Yep.
Like if I would say anything, I'd be go keep running, keep in running shape. See, you get in the NFL sometimes as a quarterback, and you know you get to the offseason, and yeah, you're in shape. But you might not have been in training the way you were like your first year in the NFL, getting ready for the combine, or the way you were in college when they make you work out and run and do sprints like every day of your life.
Right.
Right? To where you go, well, I want to be loose and relaxed and be able to throw the ball the way I want. But to me, that's the only negative I've seen. I can see with those two. It really is. They have the propensity to get a little thick, and that will compromise their ability to move and make magic happen. That's the only thing I worry about is just a guy who, you know, analyzes bodies, seen a lot of quarterbacks in my life, and, you know, I certainly root for these two a lot.
So you would just say, as a friend, don't get fat.
Just watch your weight. Keep running. Keep training to run.
Uh-huh.
You know, don't lose that aspect because it's such an important part of their game. It's special, and yeah, you don't want to just hit that, well, I'm in shape, I'm an athlete, I'll get in shape when I got to. You won't be the same if you approach it that way. But, yes, Mahomes is number one. He's the best quarterback in the sport. He's the best player in the sport. Josh Allen is not far behind. He's not, for my money. It was a serious gap close within the last year. But still, Mahomes is still the man. And then I think, yes, Rodgers is just slightly behind Josh Allen. As I told you, that tormented me going back and forth between that.
So your top three are really close. Deshaun's a little bit farther back.
Yeah, I think Deshaun's a clear – there's a clear gap between my top three and then four and five for me, yes.
And so we already know three and two are very close for you, Rodgers and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And you just said that Allen's very close
to – it's very close too.
Mahomes.
Yeah.
So everyone's close here. Rodgers is close to one.
Yeah.
Mahomes is close to three.
If
Mahomes comes out and the toe's not totally – there or something goes wrong, like this is not the situation where Mahomes was one last year where he's going to be one for the next 5 years.
These guys are freaks yeah, they're right. Freaks. Josh Allen is as freaky of a quarterback that's ever came into football. If Josh Allen has the same year he did last year,
yes,
and Mahomes has the same year he did last year,
mm-hmm.
and they play in the AFC championship game and Allen wins this time around, Allen could be the number one quarterback in football.
I mean, no one will very few people will disagree with that.
I don't know, but I doubt it. It's my list,
if Allen wins the game,
yeah.
That's an argument that people will be okay with.
Yeah, maybe. But it's not far off.
Yeah.
It's not. So we'll see. Let's see if they can replicate what they did last year. You said it. I don't know if they can really play that same way
mm-hmm.
and expect all the positive results they got. But they went 13-3 last year with no running game. And I'm just going to make sure I have this right. And a defense that was 14th in football.
Yeah.
All right. That usually doesn't mean 13-3. And that's because they have Josh Allen at quarterback. And that's why it happened to be 13-3.
Congratulations, Patrick Mahomes. What do we send him? Do we send him the barrel top? Should we just send him that out there? You sign it.
I'll sign it. Or maybe I should send him my song. Just be like, hey, play this before the games. Yeah. You'll play awesome.
Send
no
him
problem.
An MP3. Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah.
We'll just have a video of him playing it.
I do want to ask him to go on the podcast at one point.
That would be good.
I
do.
You know, he is aware
we gotta get the number
of
one.
How highly I talked about him coming in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I've met Mahomes before. He knows all the praise I gave him before the draft. So maybe I've cozied up to him enough to where he'd maybe do me a solid.
He goes, you almost screwed it up for me. The Bears almost took me. You kept talking me up there. Thank
Good
God
thing
that
you
didn't
shut
happen.
Up when you did.
All right, so that's it.
That's it.
We've gotten to the finish line.
Wow.
In partnership with Woodford Reserve Bourbon, that is the Sims Top 40 Quarterback Countdown.
Woo.
Right, take a deep breath. What
Man.
Do you think? Are you looking back on your list now?
Yeah.
And I know this from experience as a guy who did the Super Brawl and then questioned it immediately with some of the rankings there. Your list, like, you feel good about it? You feel like anyone's going to make you look bad going through your list?
Well,
here?
I'm sure there's plenty that are going to make me look bad. I don't, you know, I know. I got to let it, like, sink in for a day or two,
yeah.
And then I'll be able to go back and tell you, like, ooh, I should have changed this or changed that.
That's what Jon Rahm said after winning the U.S. Open. I got to let it sink in for I can't really think about it.
It is
right
hard,
now.
But
so
that was great to watch yesterday. I look at, like, that Tyrod Taylor area right there and Case Keenum to where maybe I should have had Case Keenum up in front of some of those guys that are young and unproven to this point.
You're high on him.
I do think about that a little bit. No, after that, I mean, as of right now, I feel pretty good. Let me have another day, though, of just looking at the list total, because I did have a few that kind of came out here and there as we were going through it where I went, maybe I should have switched this or that. But
you've gotten angry people, of course, here with Brady at 10. Yeah. I think there's some people. The funny thing for me is that when you see someone comment, they go, Derek Carr, 14, are you serious? And I don't quite know if they mean, should he be higher
or
should
he be lower? Either way, right. Right.
But I don't quite know what they mean by that. But I think you get the most back and forth, like 10 through 20. Cam Newton, a lot of people wondering.
Yeah, it's a tough one, right?
I think he's too high still.
Yes.
On the other page, it was Taysom Hill. People think he's too high.
Yeah, I know. I had to go on a New Orleans, podcast last week to explain that.
What'd you do?
I mean, first off, at base level, for everybody to go, like, do you think, like, Sean Payton, who got rid of Drew Brees, and Taysom Hill, he loves him. Like, do they really think he's that much worse than that? They're basically disrespecting one of the greatest offensive minds we've had in football in 20 years ago. The guy you think's going to be the starter isn't as good as you think. How dare you think that?
Well, and it happened.
And he went 3-1.
Exactly.
I know.
He was the pick.
I don't understand. Some people you can't win an argument with. I don't understand. And stop evaluating, as I've said many a time so far, all these guys through the same Brady and Manning quarterback lens. It's over. That's cool the way they played, but there's so many different ways to play the position now. You don't have to be that way. And Taysom Hill is never going to be like them, but they're never going to be like him either. And he's going to do things from a different scope or a different way that we haven't seen. So he's a force of nature that way. Yeah, he might not pick you apart with his right arm as much as they did, but he's going to do some other things and put pressure on the defense still at a very high level. And, yeah, that's why he's 24. So, yeah, that's a tough one. Big Ben and Jimmy G there at 22 and 21 was also a really tough area for me as well. I think those are the ones at least that jump out to me to where I'm like, I don't know if I got that right or not.
Right. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see, right, how they perform in 2021, although that's not the end-all be-all because it's hard to separate the quarterback from his context a lot of time. But that's what we try to do here.
Yeah.
What we also try to do is make people as mad as possible with any number of lists. My Super Brawl list got people angry. Now it's time for Pete to be put in the spotlight.
Good.
And his list to be exposed to the Twitter hate that is out there in 2021. So Pete came up with his top 10 quarterbacks that he would want to drink Woodford Reserve with. So he's got 10 quarterbacks here.
He's
putting himself out there because who knows? This list may be terrible.
Well.
And then he might be just ridiculed for it.
He's a good friend. He's a good friend. He realizes, he's like, wait, let me take some heat off my friend Chris Sims, who's getting shit on daily, and let me take some of that. So I'm excited for this.
All right, he's got...
Is this his first ever list?
No, I think he's done one before.
He did one other list.
No, yes, he did a top beards list. Remember that last year?
It was horrible.
Where we revealed it in the opposite... Didn't we reveal it in the opposite? Or no, you gave it to us in no particular order? Yeah, we did... We did it the wrong way, but then we never admitted to that, and so then we were just
Did he also do the hair list and not put Palabalu on it? Didn't we have one of those?
Yep, he did that.
Oh, my gosh. All right, here we go. List has a lot of asterisks next to it already.
Not a great history. Not a great history of lists for Pete. So producer Pete's got number 10, who he'd want to drink Woodford with. Aaron Rodgers, who he notes is a scotch drinker.
Yes.
But he wonders if he would complain about work too much. He would spend too much time complaining about his coworkers.
You might get a lot of juicy stories, though.
I mean,
it might be worth
thing.
It.
That's a
you
positive.
Might be like, here, do you want me to fill up your drink? I want to hear more.
Number 9 for him, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh.
He says, guaranteed smart convo. He goes, he went to Harvard. People forget that, but he did go to Harvard. Plus, he knows how to let loose. Do we have a picture of it? Oh, yeah, that's right.
At
the podium with his
hairy chest.
No shirt, but he has a zip up that he has zipped down basically the whole way. That's DeSean Jackson's clothes. So he would at least have the party vibe going on.
I mean, I would have been like, if I was DeSean Jackson, I'd be like, listen, dude, you're not wearing my jacket until you put a t-shirt over that hairy chest. That your hairy chest is not touching my jacket.
I would say keep it now. I would like, you just keep it. That's yours now. You have touched it with your chest hair, and now it's yours. Number 8 for him is Lamar Jackson. He goes, now that Mahomes is a dad, Lamar is the most objectively cool quarterback in the league. Just like a cool guy.
That's cool.
Like,
okay.
You have a cool vibe drinking with Lamar Jackson.
Definitely. No doubt. I'd like to hang out with Lamar, too.
Number 7 is Joe Burrow, because he says that he loves a cigar with his whiskey. And you remember that? Back when he won the national championship with LSU. There's the picture.
How dare he smoking inside. It's a smoking hazard.
That's true. That's
I think they told him. He got in trouble that night. I think they came in there like the fire marshal or whatever and told him to put it out.
And they took away his national
There's
championship.
There's no rules in the state of Louisiana. They decided to make that a rule that night. They started to enforce that and Odell giving somebody cash. Like that was they decided to enforce a law in Louisiana for the first time.
And then, boom, a few months later, we got COVID. Coincidence? I don't think so. Joe Burrow smoking inside. Who knows? Number six, Mac Jones. Interesting. The rookie getting some love here for Pete. He goes, I love a cigar with my whiskey. And wouldn't feel out of shape standing next to him. All right, so he's thinking like a wingman-ish.
Feel like an athlete. Ooh, baby, look at that. Man, look at that midsection. Look at that thing.
That cost him a few million dollars in the draft.
It probably did.
That midsection.
We'll see what that – I'm interested to see if that changes as we are in the NFL now. You know, just because I think there was a – I was always told by people down there was a trying to be bigger and put weight on and be that guy.
Yeah.
To where once you get to the NFL, you realize, wait, I don't need to be quite that big. And you're, of course, a grown man who's finally ending growing to where weight starts to stick onto you naturally. I wonder if the look will change.
His comp is Fred Flintstone. This is very just like square.
Yeah,
square body.
It is.
Not a whole lot of definition going on
Fred,
there.
Though.
Great quarterback, though. Number five for Pete, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
He goes, we both like quoting Ron Swanson.
Yeah, that and like what The Office, that's the other one he's big.
Is Baker big? Yeah, Baker big into that. They just go, it's just Baker and Pete just going back and forth.
Oh, with their little snarky lines from? Oh, I know, totally. Is Ron Swanson The Office? Is that what that
no,
is?
No, Ron Swanson is Parks
oh,
and
Parks
Rec.
And Rec. Yeah, excuse me. Okay, I was a little off on my
get
shows
your
there.
Get your pop culture knowledge
Sorry.
Up there.
But Parks and Rec is one I had known nothing about, really.
I haven't watched that
so
either.
I need to watch that.
Pete says it's good. Yeah. All right, number four. Jameis Winston.
Whoa.
He goes, like his on-the-field play, it will be boom and bust.
You're not kidding. There's a lot of jokes I can make here.
We possibly end up at the Playboy Mansion
right.
and the emergency room all on the same night.
Right. Or in jail with lobsters. lobster feet or legs. I'm just joking.
Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah,
right?
You could end up at a Publix with Jameis Winston.
Good taste in food, though. I think crab legs. I mean, that's
definitely.
That's
you're going to have fun. He is full of personality and energy.
He does seem like a fun man.
He is. I've been around him real quick just two times, and he made me laugh quite a few times.
We're going in the top three. Number three, Matthew Stafford, a fellow survivor of raising twins. Pete
wow.
Knott. So it's like you got war stories
right
there.
Oh, well, Pete, let me just say, he didn't survive shit. He makes $100 million. He has lots of people watching his kids.
Yeah,
you're doing
true.
Way more in that department.
Yeah, that
he's
is
not,
true.
He's not playing quarterback and telling his kids to be quiet at the same time like you are right now.
Do we have 2019 Matthew Stafford? Here it is.
Oh,
they're like,
baby.
Matt, here we go. Chug a beer.
Oh, he's going to chug it easy.
Oh.
Well, that's like, yeah, see. That's
not even swallowing. It's just opening
just
the throat.
It go.
And it.
Yeah.
I don't know how people do that.
I can do that.
You can just
do
that?
Yeah, I can just chug it. And
what
open
what
it
happens?
Up.
You just open your throat and just like goes
I take
down.
A deep breath and just open and let it go, right? I don't know. Yeah. You know, I used to have this back in the day. Just speaking of that, Kyle Orton, right? You remember this?
Yeah.
You remember Kyle Orton, the name?
I remember Kyle Orton, yeah.
He was famous for he would do the same thing but not bend his arm. You got to chug a beer, but you can't bend your arm.
Would it fly through the air?
That's
then?
How he would do it. He would hold it up like this and go, ah, 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 and yeah, that kind of became a thing for a little bit. With
would he get it all over his face?
Of course,
or?
A little bit, but he was pretty special at making it pretty good. Yeah.
But he would make other people do that.
Oh, yeah, I think I did it once. Everybody kind of did
and
it
so
here
no one
and there.
Else is as good as he is, probably, and so you get more beer on your
face.
Yeah,
he was a pro. He was a pro, yes.
We'll do that. We'll do that on the next pod because we need something to do now.
Yeah.
Now that we're through the top 40.
Yep.
Number two. He goes, Josh Allen.
Oh, baby.
Josh Allen.
My boy, boo.
We don't have the video of him chugging a beer, but he did at a softball game one time, if you remember. So if you want to go search on the internet for that, Josh Allen seems to me that reasonable that he's another quarterback that can chug a beer pretty easily.
He's got like... I don't know. Just there's that, like, you know, whatever. It's just that big, burly man look, like Big Ben. I can drink a beer all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's go work out on the farm and then drink some beers. You know, Josh Allen, I know he grew up on a farm in California. But, yeah, he definitely would be one to be, be have some fun with.
He might embrace that persona, though,
yeah,
you're right, at this point. But number one for Pete on who he would like to
I'm really
share
interested.
A Woodford Reserve with. is the best quarterback in the league, Patrick Mahomes, who has had many opportunities to chug beers in public at a parade, Super Bowl parade. And here it is.
That's why he's cool.
A great catch.
Yeah. Oh,
cracks it open.
And that was very natural looking. I think so, that's where, you know, like, this is not his first rodeo.
He did the Kyle Orton there where he tried to drink it away from his face and didn't get it all.
Cracked it natural.
But he did. That's like Stone Cold Steve Austin right there.
He is. That's what, to me, is cool about Allen's and Mahomes. Maybe not as, like, worried about their commercial appeal.
Right.
I don't know if that's the right way to say it.
Yes.
But not worried about being, like, so right, goody two-shoes. I've never drank a beer. They humanize themselves.
Totally.
Which I appreciate. Yeah,
yeah, you relatable. Wouldn't want, like, let's just say, like, a guy like Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Super nice guy, right? Not a human, though.
No.
Don't feel like you're getting to know the real human.
Right.
With Russell.
No,
so you might be kind of putting on a show while you're sitting there at the bar with him.
Yeah, he's always possessed on a mission for something in life, a robot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're not going to maybe get the most natural.
Good dude, nice dude. It's going to be probably a quality,
Definitely.
Nothing's bad. You're not going to get into a fight.
But I was a little shocked.
Jameis
at three?
No, Jameis at four.
Oh, Jameis at four, yes.
He was higher on the list. Like, I think Pete notes the volatility of that night. If you're looking for a night where you don't know exactly what's going to happen,
right.
I think Jameis is a good pick. I think Ben would be, and I think Ben Roethlisberger would be a nice down-to-earth guy to have a beer next to.
I definitely think so. You're going to get some good stories. I know I'm looking just to see if there's anybody else out there. I really hit, I think, a lot of the key figures there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to look if there's anybody else that
jumps
out to
me. He trended towards quarterbacks with just a good down-to-earth personality, it seems like.
Yeah, I think so. Just good times with good people.
I'm looking through, too. Yeah,
He didn't pick he loves the Giants. He didn't pick Daniel Jones. But I'm with him. I think that's a pretty strong top 10. I probably would have gone more Cam Newton over Mac Jones. I don't really care what Mac has to talk about yet. He's young. He hasn't seen that much. Pete says Cam would overshadow his coolness.
Yeah, he wanted.
Well, maybe you'd learn from some of it, or learn something from it, and become cooler.
It'd rub off.
It'd
rub off.
Right. Well, then, so now you know. Mahomes 1, my boy Blue 2, Rodgers 10 on the drinking. So that's why I had to drop him to number 3 on my list. You know?
Exactly.
And if you can't be in the top 5, I'm Demolitis is drinking buddies.
Exactly. Pete doesn't want to hang out with you. There's something wrong
there. There's something wrong.
It's a huge red flag.
Exactly.
He's all the way down there on 10. All right. So that is Pete's list. So send
way to
your
go,
hate.
Petey boy.
Send your hate to Pete, Demolitis, on Twitter. We have some Ask Me Anythings, but what if we just save those for when you talk with
Because we
got
to talk to Miz.
Because we got to talk to WWE superstar
Booyah.
The Miz about the Super Brawl rankings.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history. And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
All right. Two-time WWE champion, 8-time Intercontinental champion, 2-time United States champion. Most importantly, 8-time tag team champion.
Oh, baby.
WWE superstar, The Miz here to break down the Super Brawl rankings. Miz, how's it going?
I am doing absolutely awesome. You know, you forgot that I'm the only two-time Grand Slam champion in the history of WWE. So all the superstars that you can name in WWE, I'm the only one that has had multiple times WWE Tag Team United States Intercontinental Championships. So you forgot that, but that's okay. I'm reading this list.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a good list.
And no, it's not. It's actually a really horrible list. I think I mean, you just got it wrong. You know, you just got it wrong.
What? And where does it start? What's the first one you look at that you just go, "That's so wrong. You're such an idiot." First off, Miz, I should have done the introduction.
Rodgers and LaFleur, because let's face it, Rodgers is even going to play. He's going to leave LaFleur and let LaFleur go by himself. So that should be number 32 in my mind already, because Rodgers is checked out. And when someone is checked out and he's on your tag team, you don't want him.
That's a good point. I like that. That's a straw. I'm liking the Miz. Miz, first off, I knew you were the two-time champ and all those things, too. I should have done the introduction. He's an idiot, this guy next to me. I don't know what else to say. Wait, just to, I want to clarify one thing, too, just to make sure we're not any bias here or anything like that. I know you're from Ohio. You're not a Bears fan or anything like that, are you? You're just
a Browns fan.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make
I'm a Cleveland Browns fan through and through. I've been a Cleveland Browns fan ever since I don't know. I've went through like 30 quarterbacks since Bernie Kosar, and I've been a fan ever since. You know, I remember going on my school bus when I was in elementary school singing Bernie. Oh, yeah, yeah, Super Bowl. I remember singing that, and then the Browns just took a hit and another hit and another hit. And then it's like 25 years later, and here we are sitting here, and now we're looking like a Super Bowl caliber team. And, you know, the tag team of Baker and Stefanski, you know, a lot of people are thinking that Baker could be MVP this year, and I'm not thinking that. I'm looking at the Browns as a running offense. And they're just going to run it down your throat. Whenever you have an RB1, two RB1s like Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, you're just shoveling the ball and let them run, baby, run.
I like it. I mean, Miz. I like it a lot. Miz,
But that's way too much football talk. Where would Baker and Stefanski be in the Super Brawl? I've got him 11.
I understand. Like, I am a little – I look at Big Ben and Tomlin and I get it. I get the number one. Mm-hmm. I understand that they're number one seed. But I feel like they could be taken out. The reason I think they could be taken out is because Ben is getting older. He's getting up there. He's taking a lot of hits. And, I mean, I thought he was going to retire this year, to be completely honest with you. So another thing is, like, whenever a person is kind of, like, older, they've been through the ring, they've been through everything, they become smarter and they do certain things. I just don't think Big Ben and Tomlin should be number one. Here's the thing. I want to say Baker Stefanski, but it's just not. No, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at more of a new caliber tag team, something that's fresh right off the bat. And the reason I'm going to say this team is because I've worked out with the coach. I went to a place that Jake Glazer owns, and he just happened to be there. And we ended up working out. And I found myself being motivated and literally working harder around him with the workout that he was doing. Like, it was almost like a challenge. And I was like, God, this guy is like, he's a motivator without even motivating. Like, he wasn't even trying. So I can just only imagine if he tried. And then that year, I believe they went to the Super Bowl and lost.
Right.
So I'm going to say the new tag team of Stafford and McVay. McVay's a small guy. But he's scrappy. He's scrappy, and this dude is a leader. And I honestly look at that as the missing link that the Los Angeles Rams has had this entire time. And so I'm looking at them as my number one seed.
Wow. So that, I mean, that's guaranteed. So you know me. I love Matt Stafford. I'm from Michigan, a Detroit fan. I love Matt Stafford. And I like Sean McVay, too.
Yeah.
So they are guaranteed to go up next year. They have already moved there.
We question.
Also, Allen and McDermott, I mean, have you heard Allen talk? Like, that dude is like, he just spits game all the time. He's always challenging Mahomes to, like, throwing the ball further.
Yes.
And I'm not even a Bills fan, but I like to see what he's going to say and what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And that tag team, honestly, I look at it as, I mean, the guy's a double threat, a dual threat quarterback.
Right.
And he's athletic. He's big. He's monstrous. So I'm looking at him as like a 1-2. Mm. Like, those are my top two seeds right there.
I can see that. See, he's got two scrappers as head coaches. They both got that mentality of like motivation, tough, like get the other guy to be better than what he really is. And he's right about Josh Allen.
If you're playing in that kind of weather in Buffalo,
right.
I'm sorry, but you're just a tough person all around.
Okay. I'm with you. I like how you're breaking this down. You're really all over it. And, like, McVay, so give us a little, like, McVay, even though smaller, he can move some weights and do some things, right,
in the
weight
room? What would he do?
Man, I mean, I'm 6'1", 220 pounds, and he was literally just, like, it wasn't even like he was trying to challenge me, and this is right before he became coach. Like, he became coach, and he hasn't coached the team yet. So I got to meet him before – you know, all the hype started happening.
Right.
And when I just met him, you could just feel like there's a presence. There's an aura when you're around someone. And they can either motivate you or they can drop you down. And McVay was able to not only motivate me without even trying, but I was pushing more weight than I ever pushed before. So I can just imagine what happens when he gets in the weight room with an entire team, when he gets a Stafford, a quarterback that he's been wanting, yearning for. And I mean, this is just going to be a tag team made in heaven,
man. So that's your 1-2, and then so like we got our 1-2,
and he thinks Allen McDermott.
I don't like Lamar Harbaugh so high, by the way.
What do you
I
mean?
Really
he's, no, he's insane.
Move.
Like John Harbaugh,
really dumb move. I think Lamar. Granted, he's a dual threat.
Dual threat.
He's thin.
Yeah.
And small.
Right.
You know, he's fast, but is he going to be able to take down? You know, I mean, when you're in a ring. Mm-hmm. And you're wrestling someone, you got to take someone down.
He's bigger than you might think. He's bigger. There they are right there.
Look
at
very
that.
Big to me.
Yeah.
Harbaugh looks bigger than him.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's right, though. He's wiry, skinny. Yeah. 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 I hear you. I think that's a fair evaluation. He's right. It is a ring. How fast the speed doesn't come into a factor as much. So
he does come into a factor, but you got to be able to put the pedal to the metal. I've been up against some 7 foot tall guys. And you got to be able to stand your ground against them and stick and move. So speed does come into play, but I just don't see that as a top, what is it, top three pick? Absolutely not.
Yes.
Absolutely not. Just
yes.
A dumb
I'm banking.
Pick all
yes. So I'm banking on this. I'm banking on the insanity of John Harbaugh. Like, he's a Harbaugh.
Yeah,
and
he
so
is. He's psycho.
You need, like, the crazy effect, right? Like a Dan Campbell for Detroit. Like, there's a guy who's already talked about biting kneecaps. And if you're going to talk about biting kneecaps in an NFL press conference, chances are, when push comes to shove, you're going to do some crazy stuff. And that's what
but
I'm banking on.
Jared Goff.
Yeah. And then, yeah, that's true.
I mean,
that's true.
I look at Jared Goff and I go, okay, nice guy. You know, he can play some ball a little bit. But, you know, when your coach is the scrappy one and you're the leader and the quarterback of the entire team, I'm not putting them up top. I want my quarterback to be the leader and the coach to be second to me and basically guiding me, showcasing me, saying, hey, this is what you need to do. And I just don't see that. I don't see that as a top five pick. And Tua and Flores, I get it. Yes, 100%.
Yep.
But Tua, come on.
Yeah, got to prove it.
I mean,
who else? Anybody else?
I'd rather
think
Patrick. But so I'd rather have Fitzmagic in there.
All right,
I don't think he's in Miami anymore, but I'd still take him.
Right. No, I do like that, the volatility of Fitzpatrick. All right, so that's the top of the list. Let's go to the bottom of the list here, because that was as hard for me. Because it's really, like, saying that anyone would lose to literally any other quarterback coach duo in the NFL, it's hard.
Yeah, it's disrespectful.
It's disrespectful. It's hard to pin that on someone. I pin that on Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor for the Cincinnati Bengals. However,
why did you do that? Is it because Burrow's injured right now?
Good question.
Is this 100% Burrow?
Don't give him.
Correct.
He didn't even have – that wasn't his reason. You just gave him that excuse,
that's
the injury.
Exactly what I was thinking.
The only reason that you could put him in last place is if it's because of the injury.
Hmm.
That's it. That's the only reason. Otherwise, the dumb move.
I love
you don't
it.
Know football, you don't know wrestling, you don't know WWE stuff.
Oh my gosh, Miz, you're
right. Burrow is an ultimate A1 QB, and he's going to lead this team. This man had to literally run for his life last year,
right.
And he got injured for it.
Uh-huh.
You know, Cincinnati needs to protect that number one pick and get some linemen. And I'm talking depth upon depth upon depth. You know, just because you have got a couple linemen this year, you need depth. because this is an A1 QB, and he's feisty. And I do not like that as a last pick. The only way you put him as a last pick is if he's injured.
I like
the fact that Reed and Mahomes, I will put him in the bottom. And the reason I'll put him in the bottom is because Andy Reed, you know, he's getting up there. He's getting older. I mean, even though he is scrappy, I mean, back in the day, you don't want to mess with Andy Reed, especially when he was a child. Because if you've seen pictures of him when he was a child, he was a monster among men.
You're right.
But right now, at the age of Andy Reed, I don't see him as a top pick. I look at him as a bottom pick. Can he guide Mahomes? He's obviously guided him to the Super Bowl. But let's face it, I just don't see that as a top pick.
Yeah.
Arians and Brady, I'm looking at and going, Brady's Brady. He's a GOAT. There's no one better than him at quarterback in the NFL. But I'm putting him in the bottom ranks. Rodgers and LaFleur, all the way in the bottom ranks. The reason, I've already displayed it.
Yeah.
These guys are not getting along. Rodgers is checked out of Packers. If I'm like the Bears, I'm looking at them and going, hey, can we get Rodgers? You know, can we get a QB1? And then let's see who else we got here. Here's one I liked. Kingsbury and Kyler. And
okay.
You might look at them and go, when I saw Kingsbury at the draft and he looked like he was an evil villain in his lair, just drafting picks. I don't know if you guys watched
that.
When they showed that picture of him, I went, I like this dude already. Mm-hmm. He's got a lair and he's ready to go. And Kyler Murray's fast, swift, and he's kind of thicker. He's a little thicker to me than Lamar.
He is.
So that's why I put them over more in the top position rather than the bottom.
They were hard for me to rank
because
Kyler's not a big guy. He's a smaller guy. And what scares me about Cliff, Miz, is that I'm scared off by the guys who are trying to protect stuff from the neck up. Right, some guys that you know have made a career on their looks. I'm not saying that's all.
Miz
that he is
good looking. He's
doing
fine in his job.
Well, but still, they're going to be more protective of their face, and that could open up some weakness.
That's
elsewhere.
Not necessarily true. I have scars. I have broken noses, and my face still looks amazing. So you know, sometimes you don't care. You get scrappy in there, and you don't care about the looks. I mean, if you're talking about looks, what about Cam? Cam is always, and you got him in the top of your list.
Yeah,
you got him at 8 with Belichick.
Yeah, what do you think about that? That was a hard one
for
me.
Cam is always dressed to impress, but I'm not looking at that. Cam is kind of gets injured a lot.
Yeah,
and you know Belichick is getting up there in age. Yeah. Now, granted, Belichick is one of those guys that literally will wear a T-shirt in below weather just to show how tough he is. But I don't know how he's going to do in a WWE ring. You know, I mean, he may be able to coach you, but when you have Cam there, I look at him now, MVP Cam a couple of years ago, of course, but post-surgery Cam, and I love Cam to death. As a matter of fact, I drafted him as my quarterback, probably shouldn't have, but in my fantasy league, but I'm not putting him in top 10, not a chance. Taysom Hill and Peyton, there's one.
This one's controversial.
I like that guy.
Right.
I like him a lot. You know, he will make it up in my top 10 100%. Lawrence is, you know, Lawrence is a little small for my liking, by the way.
A little too skinny, Trevor Lawrence?
Don't you think? I mean, I think that he's going to need a couple years in the NFL to get that thickness, to get that roughness.
Right.
Right now, he would be in my mid to bottom half of the – just because – now, granted, he is a QB1. He's all – definitely a number one pick in the quarterback. I think he's going to do amazing. However, he needs to put on a little bit of size, you know, if he wants to step in a WWE ring and have a tag team, you know. So I'm going to put him more in my bottom layers.
The rookies were tough because the rookies coming in, and you also have Zach Wilson for the Jets, who's pairing up with Robert Saleh. And Robert Saleh, the thing that you notice from him on the sideline is he has, as Chris has mentioned, a giant vein.
Yeah,
a giant vein in his head. So you know the emotion will be there for Robert Saleh. There we're showing. See, there it is. You can almost, we're not even that close in. It's just like veins are popping out everywhere, arms, forehead.
6'3". I'm going to say he's about 6'3", 230.
Yeah.
235-ish.
So it's hard.
What's Wilson ranking in at? Like, what's Wilson ranking in at?
Right. Wilson, he weighed in at his pro day at 222, I believe, and 6'2 and change.
Okay, big boy.
Yeah, there's a little more thickness to him than you think. He's got a little legs and ass on him. He's got some power there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So he's like a, he's like, he reminds you of like a Tebow.
Yeah, he's a little bit like that, except, you know, he can throw. But yeah, he's got a little bit of that.
I'll tell you what, man. I did, what was it? I think it was for the Super Bowl this year. I did it like a challenge, like a Shaq Bowl challenge with Tebow there. And when I saw, like, I watched him on TV as a football player, as an analyst, as a baseball player. And I've always followed him because there's something about him that you just, you want to follow, you want to look at, you want to see. He's right. Always, you know, there's something about him that draws you towards him. And when he, when I saw him for the first time, I went, whoa, he is jacked.
He's yoked.
And he is fast. I mean, this dude is huge. And so when they said, yeah, he's going to be a tight end, I was like, yeah, I could see it. And not only that, but man, he is competitive. Like, I'm competitive and I know I'm competitive, but there's levels of competitiveness. And it reminds me of that Brady level. And I understand why people pick and root for a Tebow, because he's ultimately positive, but he will challenge you and he will motivate you. And I like the fact that he's going to be on a team with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, unlike both of you guys who've been very negative about this whole list this whole time and not motivating me at all. But I'm going to put you, WWE superstar The Miz, in the position of coach right here. All right, so say a tandem like that I have ranked high here is Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel. We got them at number two on my list. Say that you are coaching Chris and myself. For whatever reason, Chris and myself have gotten into a tag team fight with Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel. There you're seeing him right now. This is tough. Geez. The odds are stacked against us right now.
Yes, they are.
Miz, how would you coach us through this tag team fight?
Run. Just run for your life and try to figure out and maneuver ways to make sure you don't get hit, because if you get hit,
yeah,
you're going down.
Yes.
And you're getting pinned 1, 2, 3. So figure out a way that you can literally run around the ring and get them so angry that they get counted out and you end up winning. That's simplest I can generate it for
you're,
you.
You're
there
talking
no
about
you're
him
one hit
him running, not me, right? You're talking about him running.
Yeah, so what,
maybe.
Chris just stays there?
Maybe can take a couple hits. Okay. You, not so much. But this list that you've displayed,
yeah,
you are going down. So you better run for your life.
No,
love Miz.
They would respect me. They go, thanks for putting us number two on your list, and they take it easy on me. I think you just go low. You just go low, right? Isn't that the whole key? All the time, you just go take out their legs.
Not you. I can go. Yeah, I would go low, take out their legs, of course, 100%. Try a maneuver, a figure four leg lock or skull crushing finale. That's me. You, on the other hand, just run. That's your move. That's your signature move. Like, when Ahmed comes out, people are like, oh, he's going to run. That's him.
The miler. The miler.
That's your finishing move. Your finishing move is run, because you run so fast and all around that they can't catch you, that you slide in the ring at the count of 10 and you win. That's your finishing move.
Chris would be like, why did they pair me up with Ahmed? We have another co-host who played college football, Paul Burmeister. You'd probably pick him over me in a tag team fight.
Oh, yeah, in a tag team fight, I would. You're right. I don't disagree with that. Not at all. But I do like Miz is coaching you up the right way. I mean, the guy knows talent. He's evaluating the right way. Ooh. I do want to ask you something, Miz. I'm seriously interested in this. Like, your own training regimen. I'm just like, you know, what do you do? How often do you work out? And I guess the other thing I just am interested in, like, does the WWE stay on you about your training regimen and how you look and, you know, like, you know,
it all depends on your character.
It does.
You know,
okay.
Everyone has different characters. My character is egotistical, arrogant, the ultimate villain, thinks he's better than he really is, but obviously he is really good because he is the only two-time champ and he's held every single title there is to hold.
Right.
My training regimen goes, I work out 3 to 4 days a week with weights. And I have an incredible trainer, Matt Blank, who I've been with ever since Jay actually introduced me to him. And I've been with him for a while now, and he's changed and transformed my body, but also food. And I have a chef, and she does an amazing job. Her name's Mary, and she's in LA, and she keeps my calories at about 2,700 calories. And I have about 55% of that is protein, 35% carbs, 25% fats. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. When I'm in training mode, like that's my standard, ordinary, every day, every week. We don't have off seasons, but when I'm getting ready for something. So with a month in advance for Mania or for like SummerSlam or our big, huge events, like SummerSlam's coming August 21st. And we're going to be in Las Vegas in front of live crowd. I mean, hopefully the stadium is just packed with fans screaming, yelling, booing, cheering. So I need to get ready for that. And so my training regimen is I'm turning it up a little bit. I'll probably go down to 2,300 calories just to lean up a little bit more.
Right.
And I will start my my cardio a lot more. So I'll be working probably 5 days a week, 3 days cardio, 4 days of weight training, and just get it going from there. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now. Do others do the same? Everyone is different. Everybody's body is different. Like my training regimen would be different from your guys' training regimen because all you guys do is sit down and talk all day.
Yes,
so obviously you don't need the cardiovascular,
core
that I do.
Yeah, more of the core work here. You got to be able to
definitely.
I got to be a bouncy ball right now and literally be doing some ab works, you know, while you're doing it. But you don't care.
That's
you
true.
You could be, you know, at a desk where you stand and be cutting some more calories, but you don't care, and that's fine.
No, it's just all about we can let our bodies go at this point. We're past that.
Go get yourself some ice cream. You deserve it. You had a good day.
It's
today.
Been a long day. It's been a long day of talking and defending
you made a
my
list. Today. You know, you deserve something.
Yeah.
32-1 list.
Right.
I mean, that's nothing right there. WWE Raw.
And you were wrong on it all.
Airs tonight and every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on USA Network. So, Miz,
thanks
you gave
not
us
putting me on the poster. I really appreciate it.
Well, we can't control that. I don't know. I don't know what the hell they were thinking of that. Those are your people. Those aren't ours.
Yeah, you said it. Your people.
Me, I am always the one that's like, why am I not on the poster? Why am I not on the poster? Every single poster that you have.
Right.
I've been here for 17 years. Been at the top of my game for those 17 years, and I can't make a darn poster?
Mm-hmm. Disrespectful, man.
Yeah.
Totally disrespectful.
We're on no posters.
My life.
We're on no posters. Well, so near future, long-term future, what's coming up for The Miz?
You know, we have obviously SummerSlam. We just finished Miz and Mrs., our show on USA Network. The second season just aired. So if you want to see all 40 episodes, you can see it on Peacock. And the WWE Network is on Peacock. You can watch me all over there. They did an amazing documentary about my entire career. And honestly, it was the first time I actually sat down and there was no Miz. It was all Mike in an interview. And I basically went through my entire career from being on The Real World to the challenges to WWE to Miz and Mrs. and all the movies and everything that I've been a part of. And they just did a tremendous job of a documentary on Peacock. So definitely want to check that out. And right now, you know, I'm just getting myself ready for Monday Night Raw.
Cool. We should have asked who would like my list more, Mike or The Miz, and then invited that guy on.
No. The Miz was all over it. I like The Miz's reaction to your list very much so. And just so we clarify, The Miz, he would have McVay and Stafford versus Allen and McDermott in the finals. And I think you're going to go with McVay and Stafford to win it, right? Are you saying they're you'd make them one, or would you go with Josh Allen and McDermott?
Man, I don't. That's a tough one.
It is a tough one. I know.
But I'll go with the guy that I know. I'll go with McVay.
Okay. He's going with the young scrapper. Okay. He's going with the young scrapper and Stafford, who's underappreciated, has something to prove. It makes sense.
Always has been underappreciated.
Right.
He is. Ever since I watched him throw the ball, I was like, he's on the wrong team.
Yeah, he's
on the wrong team.
Right.
This is an all-star MVP caliber player playing on the wrong team each and every year. And now he is with a coach that I believe can coach him up. He's got all the ammo around him. He has protection. And I think, you know, between him, Cam Akers is a running back now. It seems like he came through in the end of the year. And, you know, with Woods and Cup and, you know, I think Higbee is still there. You know, that's just ammo for a Stafford. This defense was already great.
Right.
No, so. I mean, I'm impressed with your football
knowledge.
Sounds
like we got the Super Bowl. He runs the
all
fantasy
I
league.
Do is fantasy sports.
Yeah.
I literally wake up in the morning and think, all right, how am I doing my fantasy team? Right now I'm in fantasy baseball and I'm doing horribly. And I don't know how to get my team back. Yeah, and it's really aggravating.
It's too late.
You know, basketball has just ended, you know, and now I can't wait for football to start. I'm already getting my mind wrapped around everything. I think, honestly, Stafford's going to be my quarterback. I'm going to probably get him in like the 12th or 13th round. I'm pretty excited about it.
Cool, cool. Dominate, man. Do
well,
what
Miz,
you do.
Thanks for the time. I'll take all of your thoughts into consideration for the list for 2022.
Yeah, redo your list. You spent all day, all morning, you know, for the last week. That's all you had to do.
I should have,
look at a list. And that's your list. Your list is crap.
We should. It is. Miz, you're welcome back on this podcast as long as you talk to Ahmed like that anytime you want, okay? Whenever you want, you're back on.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. You guys have a great day, all right?
You too, man. Good luck with everything, dude. See ya. That was awesome.
We should have screened the interview.
Yes.
Then we would have known that he didn't like the list that much.
Yes. It was like I planned it. I was like, if you would have asked me, could I bring a guy on to shit on Ahmed's list?
Yeah.
It would have been, tell me, can you, all right, maybe a homework assignment. You like to assign homework to me.
We do it all the time.
The first time ever. Okay.
All right.
I want your wife to see that segment.
Uh-huh.
And I want you to film her reactions of that so she could tell you how you didn't defend yourself well enough or something like that.
Well,
even though you don't have to record your wife.
Some of
but
it
I
is indefensible.
Would like to know, I would at least like to know her reactions of how you just buckled under the pressure to Miz.
Well,
right,
she would take offense to the fact that he wants me to flee the fight, even though I've done that in my own past.
And earlier in the podcast, amazingly enough, he said to use the same thing you talked about earlier.
I've actually done that before in a fight, so I would have a lot of experience at that.
It was amazing.
All right.
That was well done.
Okay.
All right.
I got to go collect my thought. I got to go reevaluate everything.
All right.
Burrow
good.
And Taylor is a problem.
Yeah.
Being last.
Oh,
I admit
he
that.
He was offended by that.
I admit it. It was a mistake.
He was offended. He really
and
was.
And they won't be there next year.
So. So well, we basically got to it today. Chris Sims, top 40 quarterback countdown.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
Ahmed's brawl.
Yeah.
QB coach brawl. Not so good.
The Miz was basically an embodiment of all the Twitter
media,
of all the Twitter hate that has hit you for your top 40.
Exactly right. It all came together perfectly.
Yeah.
Thanks to him. That was really cool.
That was cool.
Ahmed, I know you're not here on Wednesday.
No. Nope.
We'll see you some point in the near future. I don't even know what the hell our podcast schedule is going to be.
We got Olympic season coming up, which is crazy NBC.
Yeah, so it's all over the place. Wednesday, we'll be back here. I'll be back here with Paul, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of AMAs. I know we got a ton of questions from the homies and people. It's all AMAs. Exactly right. I think we'll get Big Phil in the fold on Wednesday. He said he was down when I saw him on Friday, so we should have a good little conversation. But more questions, whatever it is, challenge me, whatever you want. Let's just talk about it. It's not life or death. You don't have to hate me forever if your guy's not ranked where they wanted. I don't hate you forever, unless you say bad things for me on social media, then I make sure I do. I'm just joking. But let's have some combos about it. Peace. Be good. Talk to you Wednesday. Clap it up.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.